Welcome to the Business Coach Podcast, an advice-oriented series that tackles the top issues and opportunities facing Canada's small businesses. I'm your host, Ian Portsmouth, the editor of Profit Magazine, and we've developed this podcast in cooperation with BMO, Bank of Montreal. Expansion is the dream of many business owners, but wanting and doing are two very different things. That's why Ken Tenser and John Paulo Cardoso have written the 90% Rule, using entrepreneurial thinking to inspire innovation and growth. They're the co-principals of Spiderworks, a growth strategy and design firm based in Mississauga, Ontario. And Ken Tenser, the CEO of Spiderworks, joins me on the line to discuss how to grow your business smartly and successfully. Ken, welcome to the Business Coach Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So many businesses stagnate or simply die due to lack of diversification and expansion. Other businesses get into trouble because they don't stick to their knitting. Why is diversification and expansion such a difficult thing?
I think people hear the word diversification on its own, and they start to think, you know, I've got to do something new. I've got to grow almost at any cost. And that can mean that they start to get into new products or new markets. So I like to associate different words with diversification, words like next step and logical. Because it helps companies to focus on what they're already great at. So from there, they can better understand what they can or should do next. And I mean, if you look at Apple, and they're in the news all the time these days, they're just such a great example for knowing what their core business is. And I've always seen that as design-driven personal technology. And that's helped them move seamlessly from things like computing to the iPod, the iPhone, and now the iPad.
And I think that brings us to the next question. What is the 90% rule? What does that mean?
It's really about building on what you're already 90% capable of achieving. I mean, essentially, it's about evolution and evolutionary growth strategy, not revolution. So that you're sustaining growth and you're doing so at lower cost and with lower risk. And I first figured this out when I co-founded and was growing a personal body care company. We would always ask ourselves how we could grow without using or risking huge amounts of money, because like most entrepreneurs, we just didn't have huge amounts of money to spend. So we started focusing on things like shampoos and conditioners for women, and then we expanded into the teen, tween, and male market. And then we looked at new verticals like pet products and home care products, liquid-based. So really, we were just learning or teaching ourselves to leverage our current equipment, inventory, and expertise into these new markets.
So opportunities for sales and expansion are everywhere. What are the key differences between a good opportunity for a business and a bad one? That is something that many business owners and managers have trouble distinguishing between.
Well, I like to say that a good opportunity is one that's relevant. And, you know, you have to figure out which ones are most relevant to your company. And to be able to do that, we think you have to assess them against predetermined criteria. And I just don't think that most companies today take the time to sit down and figure out what these criteria should be. And we tell our customers to focus on three key areas when developing their criteria. One is global, such as understanding your company's vision, mission, or position. The second set of criteria would be market-related, such as sales and marketing. And the third, obviously, would be financial. So the process we go through is to choose at least two different criteria from each of these areas. And this way, you know, you've got this litmus test so you can tell which are the best opportunities to match your current strategy and resources. And it brings a lot of discipline and rigor to the whole process of assessing what is a good or bad opportunity for your company to pursue.
Now, one chapter in your book covers exploring what you can be, not what you are. Explain the thinking behind that.
Well, it really means that our process isn't a cosmetic one. It makes our customers, you know, really think about what their company and brand stand for and what level they can take it to. And when we go through, we settle for nothing short of answering how they can change their customers' lives, what real impact they can have on them. Because it forces the companies to move past the traditional features and benefits models to going through personification and impact exercises. And there's one great example that I've always used, and it's a quote by Charles Revson of Revlon fame, who said, "We're not in the business of manufacturing cosmetics. We're in the business of selling hope." And to me, that's just a really powerful statement about understanding what that company is about and what it can be in the future.
Now, what are some of the more common obstacles to the innovation and reimagining that sustainable and profitable growth demand?
Well, the common common obstacles, or as we say, the barriers to innovation, are what I call the idea killers in the room. And it's what happens when people put their hand up and say, you know, that's going to cost too much, or it's going to take too long. And I always tell them, you know, you got to get past it, because innovation doesn't start with money. It doesn't start with resources. It starts with an open, positive state of mind and a focused process. And one quote I always share with people is that discovery consists of seeing what everybody has seen and thinking what nobody has thought. So here again, the key is this open-minded process, making innovation part of regular meetings that recognize that it truly is as important as sales and marketing to your company. Because really, innovation drives sales and marketing. But I'm finding today that so many companies leave ideation to their annual corporate retreats, and our experience shows that leads to an abrupt retreat in sales.
The other side of the coin is the impulsive manager or the impulsive staff member who wants to chase after everything. And those opportunities that people chase often don't serve the long-term wants and needs of a company. So how can bosses control that in themselves, and how can they control that organizationally?
The key again is establishing criteria that help you to identify the opportunities you should be pursuing. And to do that in a group, I mean, innovation, it's a team sport. Everybody should be involved in determining, establishing the criteria, and then they're going to understand them better. And also, again, remember that the criteria that they necessarily have to select from in our process are all-encompassing. They focus on driving profitable sales, clearly focusing on customer needs, and also being in keeping with, you know, the long-term vision of your company. So by identifying and working with these criteria as a group, you eliminate what we call the rogue innovators, and you keep everyone focused on those logical, low-risk opportunities.
Ken, that's great stuff. Thank you for joining the Business Coach Podcast.
Thank you so much.
Ken Tenser is the CEO of Spiderworks, a growth strategy and design firm based in Mississauga, Ontario. And he is also co-author of a new book called The 90% Rule, Using Entrepreneurial Thinking to Inspire Innovation and Growth. If you'd like to learn more about The 90% Rule or order the book, you can visit 90%.com. That's it for another episode of the Business Coach Podcast. Be sure to check out other episodes, which you can download from BMO.com, ProfitGuide.com, and iTunes. For other tools to help you build your business, visit BMO.com/coach. Until next time, I'm Ian Portsmouth, the editor of Profit Magazine, wishing you continued success.